There is, for instance, this work, Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika. Who knows this work? It's a book which is by an unknown author, a book which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur kept constantly in print. It is a book on the ninefold processes of devotional service and offers very, very nice insight into what each one of them. So the author prefers to remain unknown, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the behest of his father, always kept it in print. So this prayer, which we will learn from Savatma Prabhu, how to chant it properly, sing it properly, is also by an unknown author. I have seen it several times in Vaishnava songbooks. One of the songbooks is from the Radha Gopinath Mandir in Bombay. So when it says, when you don't hear the author's name, please do not worry. This is a fully authorized and most wonderful prayer. With this, I will give the microphone to Savatma Prabhu, so that his beautiful recording will be there for posterity. Have you distributed the song? Or you?
Thank you, Maharaj. I also came across this song not too long ago. Actually, it was in 2004. I can't remember what songbook was in. Giriraj Swami's place in Carpinteria, California, and I asked if anyone knew what the melody is that goes with this song, and they said no. So I check out the cadence and made up a melody, and we started singing it as our signature. So we will sing it before we started a program and chanted Hare Krishna. We will always sing this song as a prayer to invoke the mercy of the holy name on us. And then Giriraj Swami, as knowing that I was going to Mayapur for the installation of Panchatattva, he asked me to sing it for Sridhar Swami, who was leaving his body at the time. So we went to his room and sang it. And Niranjana Swami and Indradyumna Swami were present there at the time. So they liked the song so much that they requested that we sing it every day in their room after japa time and in the morning with all their disciples. So we became a routine. And now I heard actually the melody from Niranjana. Matter of fact, Padahari Prabhu told me that he heard Niranjana Swami's song, which was actually taken from this in this context. So the prayer goes, the holy name of Sri Hari is alone the sweetest of all sweet things. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious things and is the greatest purifier of all purifying things. The entire material creation from Brahma down to the clump of grass is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme. Sri Harinam is alone reality. If someone teaches us to remember the holy name of Hari alone, then that person is our preceptor, father, mother and friend. There is no certainty in when our last breath will come. Therefore, the name of Hari must be exclusively chanted from one's very childhood. Sri Hari eternally dwells in that place where great souls chant his holy name alone with great devotion. Alas, what a sadness, what a great sorrow. It is more painful than any misery that this jewel of a Harinam has been mistaken as a piece of glass and thus been forgotten by the general mass of people. Hear again and again, utter over and over, eternally sing and sing again the name of Hari alone. It is the Harinam alone which is full of ecstasy and divine knowledge. It is the supreme pure and reigns supreme over all, making the entire universe seem as insignificant as a blade of grass.
Wonderful.
Should we chant Hare Krishna after this or just... technical problems. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Pavanam pavanevyo pi, Hare Namaeva Kevalam. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Thank you, thank you. You have given us a jewel, a priceless jewel. It's so nice in what direct language the holy name is glorified. Really direct and very deep points, each one. Yes? Who has noted the two personalities who have joined us? Every one of you. Their names are Sri C. Nitai Gaur Sunda. And they are very beautiful and they have large lotus eyes to see how you will be doing for the rest of your retreat. I believe that really the spirituality of this retreat is increasing by your sincerity. We can really feel something, and it is known to us that, I mean, it's known in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna reciprocally responds to his devotees. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives us a very nice tip, which I have been trying with success, a tip for increasing genuine spiritual feelings as you chant. He says, when you touch your beads, you should in your mind see that you are touching the lotus toes of Lord Gauranga. This immediately gives an ecstatic orientation in the japa chanting practice. it is an ecstatic orientation, isn't it? Priyavrata, that helps you to be ecstatic. So, yes, the deities, it was announced to me yesterday that there is a chance that these deities might come, and today in the noontime, when we were digesting the prasad on the left side, they appeared on the altar. That is their mercy. Wonderful, wonderful. I feel especially blessed because they have exactly the same visible heights of my own worshipable deity, Sri Radha Kunya Bihari, and they seem to be coming from the same place that is the place of Lord Nityananda, Ekachakradam village. It is very, very noticeable. They carry this spirituality with them. Once in Vrindavan there was a problem. Nanda Maharaj was surrounded by many dissatisfied cowherd boys, cowherd men. They all had the same complaint. Nanda Maharaj, tell us your relationship to Krishna. He cannot be your son because he is black and you are fair. Since when is a black person coming from a fair person? Another reason for our grave doubt is that your son, your supposed son, we don't believe it any longer, Krishna, lifted a huge mountain, whereas you are hardly able to lift a rock. How can the son, who is coming from the father, be more strong than the source of strength, his father? Who is this Krishna and what is your relationship? If you do not answer this important question set to our satisfaction, we will drive you out of Braj. This was a problem. Nanda Maharaj is the ruler of Braj together with Brishabhanu Maharaj. Now his subjects were highly dissatisfied. He said, calm down, cowherd men. This boy is not a usual boy. Like, he's unusual. Listen what Garga Rishi said at his name-giving ceremony. He said the name of this boy should be Krishna. K stands for Kamalayana, the lotus-eyed one. R stands for Rama. S stands for Sadgunapati, the owner of six transcendental opulences. N stands for Narasimhadev. And A for Akshara, the unmanifest. This boy Krishna is God, and therefore he is so unusual and does unusual things like lifting mountains and having a different color than Yashoda and me. The cowherd men were growing more upset. Nanda? We were not invited to the name-giving ceremony of your son? How satisfied are you with the statement of a saint which was made in secret? Maybe it was not there, this statement. Supply us with a satisfactory proof that Krishna is God. Or we cannot invest our trust in you any longer. It is not possible for us. And with this, they all left. It was a huge gathering. The court of Nanda Maharaj and directly visited the court of Brishabhanu Maharaj. They assembled and said, Brishabhanu Maharaj, we are not satisfied with our subordination. Your daughter Radha is unmarried. This is not according to the customs of Braj. Why do you not marry her? She is in the age where marriage is performed. And what is Radha anyways? And what is your relationship with her? We are highly dissatisfied by all these unusual, unexplained and unordinary situations. Rishabhanu Maharaj said, I can satisfy you. Right after the name-giving ceremony of Krishna, Garga Muni, or the cowherd men were going, Garga Muni came to us and said, a daughter will be born to you, who is the eternal consort of the eternal Lord. When the Lord is Narayan, she comes as Lakshmi, massaging his lotus feet. When the Lord comes as Narasimhadev, she comes as also Lakshmi, taking care of his service. And when the Lord comes as Rama, she comes as Sita. Therefore, and he said, in due course of time, the marriage will be arranged. Don't now worry about this. The words of the Brahmanas are true. Cowherd men were. We heard about these secret announcements and we cannot believe them. If Radha is the eternal consort of the Lord, I forgot to say, Vrishabhanu said, and when the Lord is in his original form as Krishna, she is Radha. So the cowherd men took this clue. If Radha is the eternal consort of Krishna, and Krishna is God, and she associates with him incarnation after incarnation, then a proper engagement gift should be given. Do you know what is an engagement? It happens before a betrothal, a marriage ceremony. You please send a gift on a bullock cart to Nandagram and let us see how this Nandagram very act. So Rishabhanu Maharaj, thinking, do we have to do this? Yes, otherwise we doubt in you, and you can follow Nanda Maharaj in his exile. Trouble in Braj. Trouble in the spiritual world. Suspicion. Scandal. Political problems. Vaishabhanu Maharaj finally, unwillingly, loaded a cart, an ox cart, with beautiful pearl necklaces, and sent this ox cart with 10 pike bearers and a very heavy heart to Nanda Maharaj, because he now knew that Nanda Maharaj would have to respond to the message that our daughter Radha seeks an engagement with your son Krishna. And the response would have been, by tradition, a gift which was 10 times as opulent. When the ox cart, with its heavy message and heavy load, arrived at Nanda Bhavan, Nanda Maharaj was called and he was informed about the message of Rishabhanu Maharaj. O Nanda, I am seeking an engagement of my daughter Radha to your son Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was heavy-hearted. How should he react? Krishna, the only beloved of Vrindavan, the beloved Lord of everyone, was someone he could not understand. He only loved him as a son. But he was behaving so unusual always, killing huge demons and lifting hills. And now this unrest in his community. And now this engagement request. And anyways, his treasury was full with milk, but not with a gift he could send in return, which would be more valuable, 10 times more valuable than this gift. How to understand it? What was going on in Vrishabhanu Maharaj? And what was going on in the mind of the cowherd man? Why all of a sudden the peace was disrupted? He went to consult with Yashoda. When he came out after a heavy discussion, where Yashoda said, we cannot respond to this marriage gift in jewels. We have to send the ox cart back. And we have to maybe accept the burden of exile. When they came back, they looked at the pearls. As they looked at the pearls, they could see a good portion of the pearls were missing. Krishna, why have you done this? Call Krishna. Only he could steal pearls. So they called Krishna. Kanai, oh Kanai, have you stolen these pearls? Tell the truth. We have to send them back. They are not our pearls. Oh, said Krishna, I have taken the pearls. But I have taken them to increase them in proportion. I have placed them in the soil of Braj to grow pearl trees. Kanai, you are very uneducated. Pearls grow from oysters in the ocean, never from the soil. Now we have to dig all these pearls out, we have to clean them, we have to put them again on strings and send them back. Where did you place them? I hope we can find them, said Nanda Maharaj. Oh, said Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, do not doubt the power of the of the earth of Vrindavan, the dust of Vrindavan. Anything can grow. All desires can be fulfilled from there. Come with me. Krishna, very innocently and sweetly, looking with his lotus eyes left and right, greeting all his devotees on the way, brought his father to the field. And lo and behold, there were several pearl trees with big pearls like this. They grew on the trees. And they were in huge quantity, not in small quantity, like they were planted, but in huge multiplied quantity. And they were somewhere as big as rocks, others were as big as mangoes, making the branches go very down so that one could pick them very easily. Nanda Maharaj immediately smiled. Wonderful Krishna had again provided a solution. He called all the cowherd men who were so discontent together and said, "A miracle has been worked by my unnormal son, my extra normal son. Please, you come and you see my extra normal son, my extraordinary Krishna." And he showed them the trees with the pearls, and this convinced all the cowherd men, yes, that indeed Krishna, whom they understood to be a mischievous little cowherd boy, whose origin seemed to be hidden by mystery, that indeed Krishna was just wonderful and it was extraordinary, and therefore everything was all right regarding him. They glorified Krishna profusely. They assured Nanda Maharaj, and they went in one group to Vrishabhanupur, or the town of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, how we call Vashana, and they were very satisfied. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Hare Krishna. What has this to do with our japa retreat? Much, my dear devotees. The devotee who wants to awaken his Krishna consciousness and who wants to have realizations of the holy name of Lord Krishna will simultaneously listen to Krishna's pastimes. This pastime is narrated in the Gaga Samhita, which Srila Sanatana Goswami says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, this is one of the books where we can get authorized information about Lord Krishna. If you wish to join the name with the form and the qualities, and in this way chant the complete name and later the pastimes, you should listen about the pastimes. You should listen about the qualities of Lord Krishna, especially on Ekadasi days. Therefore, today, on this Ekadasi day, I took the liberty, not liberty, I thought, let us hear some Krishna Katha, which will make us smile and make our heart happy, because it's so wonderful what Krishna does. This is done in Vaishnava circles, and as we have read yesterday in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, it says that the very good sadhana is to hear about Krishna's pastimes with the ear. I want to now go into a section how to invoke our spiritual feelings, genuine spiritual feelings, by giving you a few quotations which will make you think very much. See, if you want to really chant, you have to, what is called in Sanskrit, chant with some knowledge of sambandha, a relationship to Krishna. In other words, you must think as you chant the name of Krishna. Like one devotee told me just now, told me today, as he was chanting yesterday his rounds, he was feeling oh, so separated from Krishna. This is very good feelings. He was thinking of Krishna while he chanted. It was, in other words, not a mechanical thing. It was a communion with God. This is what the chanting should be. Prabhupada, he said, the chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. If you want to enter into the secrets of chanting with feeling, the feeling which is most appropriate is the feeling of separation. No other feeling. This feeling of separation will be the entrance into the world of spiritual feelings. The cry of the call, the spiritual call for the Lord and his energy. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived and taught. Vipralamba, the feelings of separation. A feeling of genuine separation is something which all the acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnav line have taught their disciples to adopt. Srila Prabhupada lectured about this. When the Goswamis were in Vrindavan, they never said, "I have seen Krishna." Their prayers were like this: "He Radhe, Braja Devike Chalalite, He Nanda Suno Kutaha." Where, Radharani? Where are you? Where are your associates? Where you are, O son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna? Where you are all? Are you there under the Govardhan hill? Or on the banks of the Yamuna? Where are you? Throughout the whole tract of Vrindavan, they were crying and searching, crying and searching after them. So we have to follow the footprints of the Goswamis. How to search out Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan or within our heart. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhajan. Feeling of separation. Vipralamba seva. Feel the separation. Prabhupada speaks to us, huh? Feel the separation. We cannot say, "No, Prabhupada, we didn't hear that." He says so clearly. Feel the separation. The feeling university. Huh? The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing. Don't try to see Krishna artificially. Be advanced in separation, feeling, and then it will be perfect. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. In Krishna book, Prabhupada goes so far to say that this is what the acharyas teach. Now the feeling of separation, there are two things which we must learn. First of all, this separation is something a little bit different than what we feel in the world. Just like Prabhupada uses the word envy in a way which we don't use that word. Envy means, in Prabhupada's word, more than just being sad at the opulences or the success of others. It means really any type of of ill feelings. So separation in the means really in Gaudiya language something different. And if this from the separation in this world, and if this subtle difference is not known, this text will not make sense to you, and you will not know how to enter a more advanced level of your chanting. Separation in this world is when I do not get my sense do not have the person and the nice feelings with the person, and I feel sad out of a personal feeling of loss. That I'm at the moment my biggest book project. It's a book which I want to publish when I'm more mature in spiritual life. Is called "There Is No Death," and the subtitle: "A Book Against Fear." And in this a book, there is a chapter about how people react to the death of a beloved one. They are sad. Why are they sad? They are sad for themselves. Oh, he has gone. It's a self-centered sadness which doesn't consider the view, the situation of the beloved person. We just feel that now we can't talk any longer, we can't discuss, we can't have the assurance of fellowship, and so on. Separation from Krishna has a different bent to it. Separation from Krishna can only be felt, that spiritual, genuine spiritual feeling, when you feel, when you don't have this psychological feeling, oh, I'm so miserable without him, I'm so unadvanced, my life is so uneventful. What we are looking for is the separation of someone who wants to serve and cannot serve. That is the genuine feeling of separation. Separation doesn't mean a lamentation because you cannot have your gratification, your self-gratification, in that sense that you are, your mind and senses are not satisfied. Satisfaction, which we mean, is Krishna, I want to be near you. I want to serve you. This is the right satisfaction. This purport is from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. These are genuine feelings of separation which will carry you swiftly to Krishna. But even though it may not be possible at the initial state to come to this very mature, selfless feeling of separation, separation nevertheless is a very powerful feeling which can bring us in connection with Krishna. And I believe the devotee who yesterday experienced this has gotten a gift in his heart which needs to be treasured. See, separation is, the person is not present, Krishna is not present externally or outside, but he is present in the heart because you think of him. This is also in separations, in feelings of separations in the world. When you, Krishna gave the example to the gopis, I disappeared from you to make you more hanker after me. And he gives the example, when a poor man has gained wealth and then he loses the wealth, in that mood of separation from the wealth, he cannot but think of the wealth from morning to evening. You understand? He is constantly thinking of the wealth, and therefore the wealth is in his heart. So this feeling of separation from Krishna is the most genuine feeling we can learn and we can aspire for, because, and it is already a fulfillment. It's not a void. If you feel separation from Krishna, you will never feel that misery which you feel when you feel separation from a dear person or a dear situation where it's really not there, and this numbing pain, you know. No, when Krishna, when you feel some separation of Krishna, you may also cry, you may also feel desolate, but Krishna, when you think of Krishna, even in separation, he's in the heart. Ramapad Maharaj, I have seen your hand. If I could just finish that, present the point and then take questions on this, because also Rukmini has and others have asked for questions. But I would really like, because we are now going into an area which I feel is important and which is not so much explored, I feel it's necessary that I make this very clear, that Prabhupada really encourages us to enter this feeling. Devotees, he says in Krishna book 28th chapter, having no shelter other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally cry to him for help, exactly like children who do not know anything but the protection of their parents. Have you seen children cry for their parents? They are helpless without the presence of their parents. They can't function. They can't even go to the bathroom to take their shower out of grief. Even neophytes can cry. In a letter to Janaki, Prabhupada wrote, this was in 1967. Janaki could have been only 1 year old in Krishna consciousness. Janaki is Mukunda Maharaj's previous, from the previous ashram, the god. Tears for Krishna are as good as associating with him personally. Your feelings and tears of Krishna consciousness will make you more enriched in spiritual advancement. Being moved by these feelings of separations is good. And we hear later in Prabhupada's works, one should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. It becomes now very clear. One should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teachings of all great devotees, especially who? Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. Remember one of the Prabhupada disciples said, the crying surely is required. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. This is in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 9. In other words, one should learn this small technique, I'm repeating, and become very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. It's the only price. We know also, tatralolyam, huh? Ekalam, that this eagerness is the only prize. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that this is how you should chant. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dhana, Bhakti E Krishna Nama Smaran, Krandan. Can you imagine what the word krandan, the sound vibration, means? Sounds already like crying, isn't it? Krandan, oh, krandan, 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 so much krandan, yes. Devotional service, oh, devotional service. is the greatest treasure. Devotional service means eating pasharam and sleeping. No, sorry. Devotional service means crying while remembering Krishna's name. This is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Please note it down. It's a very important quotation. Madhya Lila, 24th chapter, text 72. And in text 73, that is one verse later, he says, the pure name of Krishna manifests when one cries while chanting the name of Krishna. Wealth and birth are all useless if one does not worship Krishna. This crying while chanting, crying in distress of separation, is not something new. It is not a sentimental school. It is described in the original Purana, Adi Purana. You know, we use quotations from the Shastra when Krishna says, he is not my devotee who says he is my devotee. He is my devotee who says he is the devotee of my devotee. He says, here Krishna says and makes another far out statement. I am purchased by those who sing my names and cry in front of me. I am not purchased by anything else. Thus, Hare Krishna. I know that these words are heavy to digest for us who have heard so often, Sahajiyaism is not good, sentimentalism is not good, emotional martyrs are not good, emotional prabhus are not good. We have developed a resistance to this point because we have heard mostly this information, and of course this information is there. And of course, by all means, artificially induced feelings are the worstest thing on the spiritual path. It's material. It is, in the scriptures, it is said that a person who artificially cries is like a rock who has a soft, slippery surface. And have you ever been in such rocks? You go there, and it's so soft that you go like, and you fall, and then you go on your tailbone, pack, and you feel the atom bomb has exploded in your spine because the rock is not soft. It's very hard. So the person who pretends these feelings is not at all, doesn't have this spiritually soft heart. It's not genuine spiritual feelings. He is a selfish enjoyer who wishes to enjoy Krishna and so on. Therefore, this idea of service is necessary. And therefore, when we take the name, our glorious spiritual master has introduced us to this meaning of the holy name as the prime meaning. My dear Lord, please engage me in the service. One of my godbrother once said to me, Sachinanda Swami, I have the feeling we only get to the spiritual world when we crouch on our bellies. Is it called crouch or rop on our bellies?
Crawl
on our bellies in genuine service humility. So, I would be now very, very happy if we can have an enlivening question and answer session. I will first call upon Romapat Maharaj, whose hand was there. Yes, please, Maharaj. How do you like these quotations? Amazing, isn't it? No. If you want, what actually I would like to send you a few quotations which accompanied this retreat, which are of a memorable quality. And there were other things which are some first class prayers and so on. I really would like to do the service to you on the email. And such quotations, for instance, are, you know, unusual quotations which direct, why unusual? Quotations which direct our attention to these retreat subjects which we discuss. Mm-hmm.
That will be like seeds that will then explode into, you know, returning to that experience and so on.
Yeah, yes. Yes, Maharaj. Mm. I will do this. Your emails are always Purusha Shukta Prabhu, I understand. And when
it's
I...
Okay. You'll please follow up on that.
Oh, yeah. And you're... Okay.
Yeah. Yes, Maharaj.
But it's going to be all of our
emails.
Yeah. I had a very special request. But all of you were...
No, but this is a special. No, everyone should get these with crying for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So, yes, Maharaj, Prabhuji's, we are in the technical thing. So, let us now hear our Maharaj.
I would like to have, as you were speaking, it's just using different words, it sounded like we're going down the path of eagerness, and then you expand eagerness, and then it becomes intense longing, and not achieving the object of intense longing or eagerness becomes, you just put in the word, separation.
Feelings of separation. Mm-hmm.
But then, how can there be separation without having gained something in the very metaphor the Prabhupada used is, and it's a standard one, that for the standard metaphor of the Krishna book example of having gained, a poor man having gained something valuable,
yeah,
suddenly he loses it. That's having gained something and then having lost that something, and that's the feeling of, well, it's two things, having gained and then lost, that's separation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's something selfish. So the spiritual experience is the experience of service. So that's the eagerness to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two questions in one.
Yeah.
How can you have separation from something you haven't had yet to then be separated from? Or if that's not what it is, maybe it's our eternal relationship and wanting to regain that eternal thing that we've lost. But then you're really completely on a spiritual platform already. Or just eagerness for that which in faith you know exists. But it's so far from my experience that I just have faith in those that have told me it exists that I'm eager for them.
This is a very, very good question. And after my own real 2 cents worth of answer here is, that when Mahaprabhu teaches us in his Shikshastakam, his instructions, he teaches us really how to chant. And one very important verse is the verse 5, where he teaches us the mood. Ayinanda tanuya kinkarama. Oh my Lord, I have fallen away from you into this ocean of material birth and death. Now kindly lift me up again and bring me to your shelter-giving feet. So here is a prayer for the shelter-giving feet of the Lord, a prayer in separation, a prayer uttered in destitution, a prayer uttered in real, in the real, which comes out in when one understands his terrible, terrible situation in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a song out of this prayer, Anadi Karma Phala Phale, which Prabhupada often chants on his harmonium, and where he really wails out to Krishna. It's the wailing song in my perception. And it says, I'm in this terrible ocean of birth and death and the crocodiles of lust and anger and so many things, I cannot verbatim quote it, are torturing me. Please get me out of here. And now, I personally believe that every human soul is able to pray like this. In other words, it's not that out of faith imaginative faith he turns to an almighty Savior God. It is embedded in the human soul. This was a problem for Jean-Paul Sartre, the famous French existentialist philosopher, who noted that although he wanted to dispose of the concept of God in his philosophy, it was not realistic for the human being. And he made this one sentence, it's there in his writing, it seems the human being is condemned to be a God-conscious entity. It seems. It seems. He was very disturbed by this, because according to his rationalizing, it's a complicated rationalizing, there cannot be any God. But it seems this God is so much connected with the soul that we must speak of a curse in this, you know, from his perception. And not, you understand me, we means the Jean-Paul Sartre Bhaktas must speak of a curse. And I have a personal realization I would like to share. Where I was drowning, it was 3 years now ago, or four, I keep track. I was in the Canarian Islands, and I had so much preaching, and I went for a swim in between two preaching programs to just refresh myself, because I couldn't sleep enough. So I went, and I had, I had my diver's glasses, and snorkel, and I swam, and as I was swimming, I was thinking, oh, I have gained swimming abilities. I'm really racing here. You can see this when you have your diver's glasses. And maybe I'm so energized by the preaching, maybe I'm extremely fast here. When I wanted to return, I noted it was the dreaded, it's called Ebbe und Flut, what is tide, yes. And there was a sign which I had ignored, which said, red, you should not go into the water now. And I just wanted to swim. I did not look at any signs. And then I swam with all my abilities, and I'm quite all right, because I lived for 8 years on an island. But I was losing ground, and you could see that with the frightening thing with your diver thing. But I ripped the thing off and began to fight for dear life. But then I was started to panic, and I started to swallow this water, all this water. And then for a moment, what happened in my psychology is rebelliousness. Oh, here I am drowning. Sachi Nandan Swami, the famous or infamous, as you take it, Sachi Nandan Swami, is dying like an ordinary German tourist. I wanted to die in Vrindavan, and at the moment I wanted to say, take me into the dust of Vrindavan, and then I die in style. But here I was just sucked out, and I would be thrown on the beach by the tide by the flood the next morning, looking very miserly and deformed, and my shameful death would be known all over ISKCON. Don't go swimming in the Ganga. You know, Mayapur announcement. He has gone to the Canarian Islands. And yes, we know he was not normal. Yes. And so yes. So that was the first thing. Rebellion. Why me? Why me like this? And then I started to, it was really graphic. I drowned and I started to vomit. Everything came out because it is really fighting and being, there's high waves, you know. Then I said, this is not how to die. No, I didn't say like, I was in naked anxiety. Then I prayed to Krishna, my dear Lord, please, if you want me to die like this, there I die. Then, of course, this is my death. But if you want to save me, please save me. But give me the intelligence how to get out of it. I really prayed for help with great sincerity, and I felt a connection that he is certainly there. It was not imagined. It was there, certainly there. And then I heard this voice of inspiration from inside, which you know is always right when you hear it. This voice which immediately gives you the satisfaction of the heart, this is right, this is what I will do. He said, don't panic. There will be now waves which will go towards the beach. You just swim with the waves as much as possible, and when the whatever I say in German, Ebbe means
low tide.
When the ebbe comes, the low tide comes and pulls you out, don't fight. Just go with the low tide. Don't fight. You can't fight the ocean. Then again, when the next wave comes, go with it. And I remember, it was a journey. 13 meter, if the coast is there, 13 meter like this, 12 meter like this, 30 meter like this. 12, like, it was in my memory an eternity. And when I finally reached the shore, I just broke down on the shore. Again, I had to vomit all this water. And then I just laid there and said, my dear Krishna, my life is now yours. Thank you very, very much. But I don't feel I have escaped the ocean yet. I'm in the ocean of birth and death because I have to die. That was very clear to me. And for 2 weeks, this was so traumatic, you know, because I was in anxiety. You know, you don't have a meter measurement, 30 meters and then 12 meters. Am I moving? Is it true? Am I coming towards the coast, or is it a vain struggle and so on? But finally, I prayed like this, and I know this prayer was sincere. I know it came from the heart. It was not an advanced prayer at all. I didn't pray for my original spiritual body or anything. I was just naked fear of death, and it came just soaring out of my heart. Please save me, or let me die. This was the prayer. Or let me die, at least in some sort of Krishna idea. So, on your question, I would say the separation can be felt in the mood of the Shikshastakam prayers and the song Anadi Karma Phale. It can be felt, and it is felt by even neophyte in the time of danger. And I believe that is why Srila Prabhupada, I mean, don't all the Sankirtan devotees, Maharaj, we are Sankirtan devotees, we all the devotees are Sankirtan devotees. When the car is in car accident, everyone goes, Krishna, Krishna. You know, it is spontaneous. It's not educated. It just comes. So therefore Prabhupada in Vrindavan, he told us, so this chanting of Hare Krishna is so important that you can think always, death is coming, death is at my door, let me finish my chanting. Always you should think like that, that death is already coming, so let me chant. Because Prabhupada knows, for simple people, this threat of death will immediately invoke the crying for Krishna. And many of our Hare Krishna devotees had glorious death. Where they cried for Krishna at the moment, or where Krishna consciousness, many, many. It seemed even Krishna helped them at the process of dying by in some way making it easier and arranging suitable circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Just a comment, then, your response. Aside from danger, which is the plan of Krishna, just like our coming together, one of Krishna's many plans. That cultivation of intense separation is a fruit of the earlier stages of, you know, like the Shikshastaka.
Yeah, yeah.
That you come to number two before you come to number five. And you come to number three before you come to number four before you come to five. It's a progression. Not that it's a bucket and you can't even look at that one until you're. That's
part of it.
It's a mature fruit.
Yes. Very important, this comment of Romapad Maharaj. I want to speak to the tape. He said very, very accurately that this feeling of separation is a fruit of the preparations which have been done. And this whole krama, step-by-step cultivation, is described in Shikshastakam, and you have to go through the different schools. If you read Bhajan Rahasya, there Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us we should meditate. It's a book which was used by the devotees. We should meditate about one verse for some time, and then go to the next verse and meditate about this, and then the next verse, meditate about that. And then, soon, he said, it's like the, like if you read, after 5 days, you know, you do every day one verse, then you meditate about your spiritual body and doing service for Krishna. Because I don't recommend that, we are not trained in this, so let us not imitate, but it's a school in which it is. If you want to learn these developments, so in other words, separation is a feeling we should develop by going through the other schools, especially the Trinadapi school. No? That's very important. Yes, Anuttama Prabhu.
Two questions. One, before you finish, if you could go over your description of that I didn't completely capture lamentation and spiritual lamentation, you know, it's separation. Now it's different, but that's not my main question.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned that sometimes there's discomfort about these topics, and it seems in part because you were describing how the devotee should be crying to Krishna, and part of the explanation, even one or two verses, is crying in separation of service. I want to do my service for Krishna, which often is perhaps understood at the highest levels of bhajan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe what sometimes the prematurity comes out of the sahaja concept.
Mm-hmm.
One's very new and starts imagining they're a gopi or a gopi.
He wants to enjoy Krishna in some ways, yeah.
But it does specifically mention, I found that interesting, hankering to do service to Krishna.
Yes.
So, how does that tie in? Does it tie in? With can that or should it perhaps at this stage, be hankering for our service here to our spiritual master, to his movement, to the Vaishnava community, and you can comment on that. And then it seems, you know, when we look, hindsight's 20/20, and you hear a lot of comments these days from devotees about those very things that seem to motivate us so much in the past, the typical work now, samadhi later type of quotes, that perhaps, at least in some places or some lives, went so far, people weren't chanting or whatever, they left Krishna consciousness because there was so much work or service, it wasn't a spiritual cultivation. But it seems it's kind of like a pendulum can swing.
Yeah, in the other direction.
You know, I'm just going to chant and go into my deep samadhi and my neophyte state. And is there perhaps a balance? And could it perhaps be in connection with this idea that we should be crying to Krishna, but we should be crying to him who gave us the service?
Yeah. My answer to this question would be, everything in devotional service must be based on reality. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji has compared the premature desire for advanced states with a woman who is not yet fertile, but who is in her room and making labor pains, but there is only a shower. This is an empty thing. It's not real. She has not received, and there is no gestation period, and there's no building of a child. There's nothing there, and so on. So it's not real. So any spiritual approach or spiritual activity which is separated from the service mood is really not real. Why not? Because we are servants. This is very simple. We are servants. That is very nicely explained in Krishna in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is one chapter in the Adi Lila. It could be the fifth chapter. It starts where Advaita Acharya, you will all have read it, is jumping around in ecstasy. I'm the servant, I'm the servant, I'm the servant, he declares. And we all know this he was very unhappy because Lord Chaitanya would always treat him as a superior, and he would do all kinds of things that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would even punish him. He would explain Mayavada. So that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stop treating him as a superior, but as an inferior who can be punished. So in that chapter, Lord Nityananda's identity as a servant is said, but then it goes to all the rasas, including the gopis, who feel themselves to be servants of Krishna. The parents of Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they are all in the service attitude. So any spirituality or attempt of spirituality where this is left out of the picture is unreal and is only a mental production, not a spiritual revelation. And I would like to say this, what can I do? I'm little attracted to Vrindavan, and I have seen many Westerners, for instance, going to Vrindavan, and where do they go? To the highest place, Radhakund. Why anything less higher than the highest? And they listen to advanced subjects, and they this and that, and they go all around with pale service, with pale faces, and with a lot of diarrhea in their bodies. And really, it's unpleasant even to discuss with them sometimes, because you see they're just so new. They're so new in spiritual life, and it's very new. There are also very, very advanced souls in Radha Kunta, but I'm speaking now of these Vaikuntha Kreshas, you know. it goes through the service road, and that is, I believe, Prabhupada's. Really, he made that very, very sure. And service, which is bifurcated away, which is bifurcated away from the service to the Guru Maharaj, is to our spiritual master, is not taken very serious by Lord Krishna. So, yes, we. When I now talk about developing genuine spiritual feelings, I really want to be very sure that as we approach this subject, we have to approach it in steps. And the entrance gate is seva. Seva to the spiritual master, seva to the Vaishnavas, humility. We all feel in our movement that Radhanath Maharaj is very advanced devotees. We all feel this. And when you listen his lectures, it's always Vaishnav seva, humility, Vaishnav seva. You know, he talks many things, but his messages are very clear. That is very strongly comes out. Yes, Maharaj, we have heard it, we have heard it, we have heard you. But again, it will must be said with new examples and so on. Yes. If you approach the spiritual world in an unrealistic way, it is a disturbance. We hear this, not for. At the same time, and I think you, I see from your attentive listening behavior. At the same time, here on this retreat, I would like to alert you. These are Shastic quotes. These are ways to feel it. Even a new devotee can sometimes feel this thing. And I feel if you are alert, if we are alert to this, then we are able to respond to this. I remember I myself came once to Vrindavan, and all of us, and I slept from the jet lag. Then I woke up, and all of a sudden, I felt some feelings of separation from Srimati Radharani. And I had at that time not thought about Radharani and of Krishna. So my first reaction was, because my private hobby happened to be psychology, okay, jet lag. Jet lag symptoms. This can be explained. Then later, I read a statement in Nectar of Devotion that even if a materialist comes to Vrindavan, he may sometimes experience he will not want to go back into the material world. Yes, and he may experience some feelings of separation from Krishna. It was something along that line. I don't know. Something in relationship to Krishna. Some attraction to Krishna. And I know one godbrother of mine said that his mother, who came to capture him and bring him out of Vrindavan, she woke up, a Jewish mother. Jewish mother, you know what this means? Complete attachment to the children. She woke up and she said, I hate to admit it, I chanted the Hare Krishna. It's in other words, we may get some gift, some foretaste, even if we are a materialist. And then we have to work for it. Like, you know, many, many things, many gifts, which we all have, where we felt something during a kirtan, where we saw maybe the Panchatattva installation, and we felt some mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu when his eyes were opened, and we felt, is it possible? I feel so blissful. What happened to me? What happened to you is you got a gift. You got a gift, but now you have to prepare the ground to hold the gift. It's always, there is a very nice analogy that our heart is the container in which we can get the Kripa Shakti of the Lord. But most of the time our heart has holes. Lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness, Krishna. Heavy holes. So we may get something, but then it leaves us again. It's almost like, imagine, Charanamrita is served. You are starving, you have done a Nirjal fast during Jamashtami, and you come to the Pujari, and you have no container like this, a cup. Have you ever seen that anxiety? I dream of these things. So much traumatic, traumatized I am. I'm very thirsty, Charanamrita. You come like this. When I was, now I'm a Swami, I get everything. But you know, when I was not a socially elevated person, you know, okay, can you give? It will all go out, the Pujari said. Come with a cup. So we often are like this. We come like this. We don't have a cup to take Krishna's mercy. Really, our hearts have so many holes. So these things, taking care of the holes of the heart, but also hankering for the mercy of Krishna. These two things must go simultaneously. If we don't seal the holes in the heart, everything will go out. And we have seen many devotees who had so much mercy from Srila Prabhupada, from the holy dhams, from this. That's why in this lecture about developing genuine feeling, I wanted to make it very sure in the morning session that we are under the training of a pure devotee, and in association of the pure devotee, we can enter this carefully, these things of crying for Krishna in a proper way. And Prabhupada has given, he has made it very sure that actually the statements, I believe, which say, be careful, qualify yourself, first work, then samadhi, in, I think, proportionate wise, they are more than the statements like, even a neophyte can cry, what else from Prabhupada? Even the cows and calves in Vrindavan knew how to cry for Krishna and embrace him heart to heart. Actually, the perfection of Krishna consciousness can be culminated in the shedding of tears from the eyes. And then to a neophyte he wrote, tears for Krishna as good as associating with him personally. Then he encouraged us to call, it's a spiritual call for the Lord and his energy. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother presence. And he talks about it crying, learning this technique. Have you ever heard, when a child cries for the mother, have you ever studied minutely the different degrees of crying? And when something happens from the mother, when it's just like, mother, mother, and it plays, mother thinks, let me continue my cooking. It will stop. Then, when the decibels increase, mother, she understands, he's just angry or something. It's no really action. Play with the neighbor child. I'm cooking. But there is an intensity of cry which makes the mother run to the child. And by the way, this intensity goes through three Swiss three thick Swiss doors. I was once preaching to a devotee, Mataji, who had a child, and I was giving my best, preaching. All of a sudden, that Mataji had a pale face, jumped up, ran out of the door, ran down, and I said, oh no, again, I've done something bad, which I don't even know that what I did bad. I thought it was all right. But it was a little intense, but... Then later, she came back with a child, and I said, I'm so relieved. Please forgive me this one more time. What have I said? Tell me. I didn't want to hurt you. No, 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 no. Everything was very suitable. But just my child was crying. Child was crying? I didn't hear anything. And you are a man. You are useless for this. And then I asked her, where was the child? And she... You know, I did my research. It was three Swiss doors away from her. These are fat doors, these Swiss doors. And she was tuned in.
Swiss doors is not like Swiss cheese. Yeah. In Europe, everything's built not like America. It's paper thin, as cheap as possible. Most of the buildings and bodies are old. There's thick walls. The doors are like nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Solid wood.
Solid wood and stone also. That was the first thing I realized. It was when I came and visited your home, Anuttama Prabhu and Rukmini, and I was in the settlement, and I noticed, wait a minute, these are not real stones which are all there. It's only a facade. I was shocked. I hope this doesn't show the character of the Americans. We Europeans are a little... I'm not thinking of the devotees. So they are very thick, impressively thick, these doors. And then we were not it went through the doors that crying. So this is Krishna will also not when you do your imitative crying like the child, mother, Krishna, Krishna will not listen to this. He will not be impressed. It has to have the heart quality. It cannot be lip deep. It has to be heart deep, and that's obviously a result of a purified heart. Obviously, it must be a purified heart. Remember, Krishna will not sit in an impure heart. He will not come. He will not respond. So it's this process. We do have to know to do our homework very good, and this is something which I really would like to impress upon you, very good devotees. This retreat, one of my messages, which I hope you get through the experience, not so much through the explanations, is that maybe if you want the nectar of Krishna, of Krishna's holy name, if we want it, we have to make arrangements in our life and model our life in such a way that we can actually do this work which is there, this pleasant work. One should model his life in such a way, that one cannot forget Krishna. It's a statement. One cannot help but remember Krishna. It's a little work which is required in our lives. And this retreat, I do hope that we will become enthusiastic to do this work and then share this work with our devotees and with our friend. And by the way, one japa retreat is one japa retreat. It gets good when you do it a second time. It gets better when you do it a third time. And then after some time you develop a a habit. Like I have a very young assistant, young in Krishna consciousness, nice, and he's going through this japa retreat, and now it's a pleasant experience to chant. He went through hell like all of us the first time, but now he's habituated to this. It is an habituation comes. For me also, yes, I've done it so often, the ear channel, you know, like we go to the doctor, he has to get the vex out. The vex is getting out when you chant a little bit more, then you like it actually. Hare Krishna. Purusha Shakta Prabhu. Is it the time, huh?
The manager,
oh, Krishna. No, we are 10 minutes to 6. Is we are not. You have a question? Louder, please.
This point that Maharaj brought up about the karma, the sequence of Shikshastakam, and it leads to separation. But then the contrast, that's a true point, that's a statement that Prabhupada also emphasized. But then we also see these quotes that you mentioned, Maharaj, of Prabhupada saying even a neophyte can cry.
Yeah.
And then an infamous question, well, can we cry for service? It seems like there, you know, it's like spiritual life isn't exactly linear. That there, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that Chintaveda Veda Tattva is the most beautiful and complete explanation because it shows that our love for Krishna is eternal. And it just seems like one sense, you know, even as he explains it in the Bhajan Rahasya, that you cry when you're at an Arjuna Vritti. You go through the Arjuna Vritti only when you cry. You long for purification.
Mm-hmm.
And you cry for the full shelter of the holy name. So my point is, it's a complicated point.
I get your point, and while you talk, it's not unattentive listening behavior, which I do. It's the sincere search to find the steps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this chaos of my notes.
As an intro was making this point, one thing that came to my mind is in terms of hankering for service, there is the obstacle of karmarpanam, where we become attached to services which correspond with our conditioned nature. And like Prabhupada said, we should have the feelings of Mother Yashoda, we should learn from Mother Yashoda, as her example, serving Dhamma. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta says that unless we hear properly, our service becomes fruitive. The point is that this.
I understand. You want the real thing. That is what you say. Let this not be the wrong thing that I get, but get the real thing. Isn't it?
The transcendental, eternal, high matters, in essence, are very important even in the beginning platform.
Yeah, that even a beginner, can he get the real thing? See, what a beginner should do, Purusha Shakta Prabhu, is he should water the plant of devotional service, and whatever the Bhakti Lata Beach will bestow upon him, and when it will come, is entirely on Krishna, and is it depends really not on you. The moment you perform your devotional service, expecting this or that to happen, you are already in the wrong fix, so to say, in the wrong thing. You are already trying to manipulate it, and we had was it Anutama or someone this morning talked about surrender, but according to my way, Krishna. And this is also very often seen in advancement. Advancement according to my conceptions and my way doesn't work. What you should do is do the processes of devotional service, learn it, it's a great science, and then the fruits will come as revelation, as divine gifts, not produced in your own mental factory, but as gifts, as imports from the transcendental realm. I believe a very good conclusion of this session, 5 minutes to 6, is the real sadhana krama. Sadhana krama means, krama means steps, and the sadhana means the steps in sadhana. I'm taking this from Harinam Chintamani.
Should somebody write this on the, you're going to give us some numbered steps? Should somebody write that?
Yeah, who's a good writer? Your pen is... I found the pen in the car for you. The order of discipline or sadhana krama is as follows. The introspective devotee must at first discard all the 10 offenses. So, this is the first thing. Second is, and simply meditate on the holy name, trying to chant constantly. This more chanting, my dear devotees, has a great great effect on you, and throughout the whole Vaishnava history, more chanting was done.
Constantly.
Then, it's now described how to do it. He should distinctly pronounce the holy name. Please write, distinctly pronounce the holy name. You know better than me. Maybe we should write it down and then we should see maybe some. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just writes that the text, how I have it, is just zoom going through it. So distinctly pronounce the holy name and meditate upon the transcendental sound vibration. Now, usually this meditation means meditate about the meaning. And I would, it's consistent with all Hari Bhakti Vilas and everything which was known to Bhakti Vinod. I would say it's the meaning. Then, when his chanting is clear, steady and blissful, he should try and meditate on the Syam Sunda form of the Lord. Meditate on the Syama Sundara form of the Lord. And now he will describe what this means, Kosha Rupa. Please don't write it as a separate point. This is for sure the same point. With chanting beads in hand, his chanting and meditation should seek out the transcendental form of the holy name. He will indeed see with spiritual vision the real meaning the name represents. So that is still the same point. Now another alternative method to this is, another method he may employ to see this form is to sit in front of the deities, drink the beautiful form of the Lord with his eyes, and meditate upon the holy name. This is not complicated. It's very, very simple if you understand what is the principle behind it. The principle is that you must link the name to the person Krishna. Do you follow this principle? Please remain with us. It goes on. Wonderful. Meditate on the Syama Sundara form. It's the principle. See, we cannot isolate the name from Krishna. That is the gravest mistake which we do. And then it becomes a dry chanting. The moment we feel, oh Krishna, then it's linked and it works. It's almost like your radiator. The moment it is connected with the electricity, the heat will come. So the moment your chanting is related to Krishna, and then it becomes a prayer, an address, as we heard, a call for Krishna. That's the whole principle. This may all sound very complicated. It's not. You must seek for the principle. Then. And then it says here, even after reaching the stage where the holy name and the form of the Lord become one, he must try to remember the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna. The holy name and the qualities of Krishna must merge through constant chanting. Again, this sounds extremely complicated. It's not. Anything in this world, for instance, this medanga, it has a name, it has a form, and it also, in order to be a proper medanga and not a sorcerer's production, has a quality. It makes this sound and this sound. And it will also have activities. You can carry it around and dance with it and all of that. For a real object or real vastu, a substance or a reality, let us say a real entity, there must be these things, name, form, qualities. For instance, let me see a person like Anuttama. He has qualities. A soft heart, we learned this morning. I felt he was kind, but a soft heart who is aggrieved by seeing so much misery, I did not know that quality before. So only if I do know more and more qualities can I say I get to know Anuttama. Huh? Otherwise, my relationship to Anuttama or my knowledge of Anuttama, my connection, is highly theoretical. So in the same way with the holy name, what we learn here in the steps, and we will continue, Kosher Rubens, the next thing we add about the qualities. The holy name and the qualities of Krishna must merge through constant chanting. And then he goes on to practice the... Yeah.
The holy name and the quality of Krishna must merge.
Yeah, must be... Merge sounds like a forbidden word for us. We come together, I would say. We must be unified. Because name and Krishna is one. That is the idea here. Wonderful subject, isn't it? And then next he goes on to practice the remembrance of Krishna's pastimes. And it continues, but this is the krama which Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes.
Remembering the qualities, practicing to remember the qualities of
Krishna's pastimes. Yeah, remember Krishna's pastimes while chanting. That is the way. Yeah, it's the summit. Yes, that's, you are not writing only with your hand, you're writing with your intelligence as well. Exactly. Remembrance of Krishna's past. Now, my dear devotees, it's a two-way approach. Some effort has been given, Please remember this point of Ramapad Maharaj. Some effort, you sit before the deity, so to have the form in your chanting, but most of it is obviously mercy, a merciful revelation. So again, this is something which will accompany you through the rest of your practice of Krishna consciousness. Some effort and merciful revelation. And therefore sometimes we are bewildered. Now, okay, and it's so high, but so how will it come to me? Should I now imitate it? No. You should do some little effort in that direction according to your adhikar. For instance, a chanter will chant and all of a sudden he will pray to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, save me." What has he done? He has just meditated about Krishna. It is something which will happen naturally as you get purified. And the name will reveal more and more of the mercy. It comes from both sides. It is effort and mercy.
Maharaj, I don't want to prolong this so that the devotees can take your time, but I have something maybe you can clarify. When you say that it's dangerous to cry in a material way, in other words, one's senses are not purified or from the right motivation, but wouldn't that be transformed just by the interaction? Like, for example, when Krishna went to, please help me here, Dwarka, and a prostitute came to him with lusty desires, and she was transformed by the contact with Krishna.
Was this Kupcha in Mathura? Yes.
Yes. And also when we chant the names, but it's not, may not be the real thing, but if we continue to chant, it will actually improve. So in the same way, isn't that if we have an attempt, even if it is just a very feeble and precarious, primitive attempt, shouldn't that, by the nature of the transaction, be purified and transformed into the real thing?
This is a very, very good question. Because really the whole process of sadhana bhakti is you are engaged in these 64 items in doing things which is done by advanced devotees in relationship to Krishna. And by going through these motions, you are actually adopting these things are actually coming, you're developing genuine feeling. This is the whole idea of sadhana bhakti. And sadhana bhakti is executed, how was it? Sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, can be executed with the desire to develop love of Godhead. There is a Sanskrit verse by Rupa Goswami that this is the desire of the practitioner. I would say, so you have asked, but can't we now go into these feelings and then, okay, they are immature, but because we are relating to Krishna, then it comes to the real thing. I believe that the principle of your question should be done. The principle is, let's have association with Krishna. Let us have darshan of the deities. Let us chant the names. Let us hear about him. And by this contact, we are getting purified. Here, I would totally agree. But in bringing ourselves into feelings which are artificial, here I just can't agree, because it's just, this is not in Prabhupada's mood. This he did not talk. It feels not and I believe Prabhupada was careful because he is the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to distance himself from the widespread of emotionalism in the name of transcendentalism, which was in Bengal. Of course, Bengalis are extremely temperamental and emotional, and which brought people in the wrong way, that is of Sahajiya to Dom. I have studied this. Do you know the Kripalu Ashram in America? Do you know the controversial personality of Kripalu? Have you heard a little bit about him? He is engaging in bhajans, and if you go, I have not been there. He has an ashram in Varshana, but I've heard devotees who went there just to check out, not to join there, that apparently they sing and then they cry. And the understanding is they somehow do very emotional bhajans, and somehow it comes in that the crying comes. And the understanding is, all right, this may not be the right thing, the advanced thing, but we are now going into this with our emotions, and we're doing for Krishna, and then we are on the right road. Somewhere we have to start. Now this is where we have been warned, and I think for very good reasons, because you could get it all wrong. This is the protection of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that when you get the highest subjects materially tainted, they stop being the highest subjects and become the lowest subjects. For instance, the love of Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the loving exchanges, when you get them wrong, it turns into lust. And therefore, Jiva Goswami describes this. When you hear Radha Krishna pastimes and the male organ goes under a transformation, you must stop immediately, because the highest has become the lowest. It has remembered the listener on the ordinary activities between man and woman. So, because this is such a danger and such an offense, really, against Lord Krishna and his pure, pristine pastimes. Therefore, because such an offense is created, we are warned to not enter there. It is a dangerous area. And similar with tears, not really, not similar, but the idea is that when one gets into this, one might get it all wrong and material, and then one loses the chance, really, to experience the real thing. This is my answer. Now, Yagya Purusha Prabhu, is your question important?
The question is a quote, that kind of, a final quote.
Good.
By Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati on this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dealing with, you know, the approaching this, the raga mark, the spontaneous attraction, the spontaneous worship. It says, the path of raga mark shall always remain high above us as worshipful, and we shall devote our full energy in this plane in the service to the divine domain, the Dham, and the servitors therein. We eternally worship intimacy while our focus is upon service. Intimate dealings will come out of a genuine service necessity, not wishful thinking. Stick to lower duty, promotion is inevitable.
Stick to what you do now. And this is how we learn things. This is our school. And I believe it's very consistent with the idea of the Bhakti Lata beach, which is watered and which grows and then produces the fruit on its own. That is my answer. I have many, many more thoughts about this, but it would go beyond the realm of this, and the essence is this. My dear devotees, I don't know how well I did in this question and answer session. If I didn't do so well, on Ekadasi, the Vata element is a little thing. So I hope I was not hazy and it was clear. I would request you now, we should make a pause, because we will have a very nice and it will be our last evening program. So we want to make a few arrangements. Last evening program here, not in this room. Yeah. Why do you love Krishna Rupa?
We're ready. We're all ready to stay.
We are ready.
The two of us, but you said we're making arrangements. Yeah, we're making arrangements to stay.
Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, it's a nice atmosphere now. We did a journey together. So let us see each other at 7 o'clock. Thank you very much and Hare Krishna.
Hey. I talked about you.
I just saw Dinanath.
Yes.
He told me that one of the emails you gave him, the address is not correct. He got it back. And this Davis.
Davis, has he given you the text?
No, he just told me that. I mean, he could send. I must phone him to give him the right address. You cannot remember the name, what email is it? Huh?
I had written it down, but Radha Vallabha.